Welcome to The Truth in His Art. I am your host, Rob Lee. Thank you for tuning in to my conversations at the intersection of arts, culture, and community. Today, as you can probably hear it in my voice, today I am thrilled to share my next interview. It's a pleasure speaking with my guest, who is an art director, designer, and marketing professional who serves as a hands-on creative leader, helping brands scale good design for good business. My guest is a Los Angeles-based artist and the founder of Damo Inc. Please welcome Dominique Brown. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, you know, and I did that for this purpose. I like to open up the pod like this. I always like to show appreciation for the guests coming on, but also I like to give them the space to introduce themselves. And this is why. There's always something that's left out, you know, and that sort of artist statement or that online bio. And it's like, oh no, bro, I ain't do that no more. I do something different. So I like to give the guests the space to introduce themselves authentically. So if you will, introduce yourself.
Okay, let me do it. Okay. Hello, my name is Dominique Brown. I'm a creative based in, I'm trying to figure out, I should just say, because I hate saying I'm from Harupa Valley. I hate saying that. It sounds random.
No, what? Where is that? You're LA, you're Los Angeles based, right? LA?
But it's like an hour away. I'd rather just say I usually just say where my hometown is. I like to just rep my hometown. So, okay. All right. I'll start all over again. Hello. Okay. Hello. Okay, let me try.
Sure, you got it.
I'm goofy, so don't mind me. Okay. Okay, I'm ready. My name is Dominique Brown. I am a creative based in Pomona. Oh my god, totally messed up.
See, okay, let me try. This is why it's authentic.
It's authentic, I know. Bro, okay. All right. Hello, my name is Dominique Brown. I am from Pomona, California. I am an artist, a designer, and a marketing professional. I'll say that my biggest accomplishment is founding Damo Inc. Its mission is about making sure that there's Black art and home decor on retail shelves. With that, I've had retail strides with Target, Walmart, and Urban Outfitters, Macy's, Wayfair, Nordstrom. You can find my artwork anywhere. As an artist, I do content creation where I have done campaigns with Samsung, Bath and Body Works, Procter and Gamble, you name it. But this year, I've made a focus into doing traditional artwork, where I recently exhibited my artwork with the Los Angeles Lakers and Band of Vices. So that was a huge accomplishment because Band of Vices is one of the top galleries in Los Angeles. And to have Anthony Davis near my artwork, like, who could have thought that? So I'll say my career has been doing really well, but this year I really want to start dabbling more into my traditional life because I haven't been able to do much gallery work. I've been able to do a lot of digital work and do all these campaigns, but I really want to get back into being in person and showing my work to the world.
Thank you. And I love, like, also, not, you know, there's a lot of names I recognize in there. We're going to be diving back in there a little bit. But also, big shout out, Band of Vices. Terrell's been on here twice. So big shout out, you know.
Yeah.
I got some, you know, tentacles over there in the West Coast, you know.
There you go.
East Coast pod. So thank you for that. And, you know, definitely it's you're teasing those few nuggets that I'm going to dive in a bit further as we go along. But let's step back a little bit and talk about where, for you, the creative journey begins. I think we have sort of that, well, this was maybe the first gig, and then we do that thing of, nah, I used to do stuff when I was younger. And or this was this gallery experience that really had an impact on me. So for you, where does the journey begin?
I'll say, like, one of my first memories was when I was in preschool. I remember I was drawing on a plate. Like, that's all I remember. I don't know what I was using. I remember it was just like, from my vision that I have now, is that I drew this lady with some long hair. And I remember my teacher was like, oh my god, it was so beautiful. I mean, you probably see it now, it probably looked a mess, probably stick figure, just scribbles. But I was like, oh yeah, I'm Picasso. I probably even know who Picasso was, but I was like, yeah, I am. I'm the best artist. But I think, like, that sparked it. Like, so, like, all through my grade school, I was always drawing, scribbling in class because I never was the best. Like I could not focus to save my life. So me drawing on my notes was the best thing I could do. But I'll say like the thing that kind of like sparked that thought of like maybe I should focus on being an artist. But I really didn't really know what I really wanted to do after high school. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like, okay, I want to get into advertising. I want to do marketing. I really don't know what I just don't know what I'm supposed to do, you know? But I took an art class. I was getting kicked out. I got detention. It was funny. Like my teacher just did not know I knew how to draw. He just was like, this girl just talks a lot. Like just shut up. So one day I did my homework. I guess I did my classwork and then he like picked it up and he was like, you good. So I was like, okay. I mean, yeah. So then he was like, you have to apply for this program. It's called Rhyme and Arts. And it was, so the program is for like inner city kids. They get to go to USC to study fine arts.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. But like at this time I'm in Pomona. Pomona's like an hour drive. So I'm like telling my mom, like, you're going to have to like sacrifice your weekend, your off days, take me to USC. But this is really cool. So I do the application. I have to like draw this skeleton. Never did this before. I'm drawing this. I'm like sitting in a dark room for my 1 hour class while everybody else is doing their little homework. He's like, you're going to sit in this dark closet. Totally weird, right? Now you'd be like, your teacher told you to sit in the dark closet. But at that time, I was drawing in that closet. So I put the application in, they accept me, and then for the whole year, I'm at USC taking classes, doing life study courses, illustration, just getting college education, and we're able to like meet with people at Disney. They have like an opportunity where we got to go to Disney Animation Studios, and they can critique your work. So I'm nervous. This is like, I'm a kid. I don't know nothing about portfolio work. Like I'm like, I literally picked up this big old suitcase of work and drug it with me down there and threw it on the table. And I was like, this is my work. Look at it. And they were like, oh, this is great. So that's like another thing. I'm like, Disney thinks I'm good. Okay. Maybe I should study this. Yeah. But I always kind of had that mindset that like, I can't really be an artist. Like I was, because you know, the thoughts of like, you're an artist, you're broke, you're not going to have anything kind of thing. So I was like, okay, what I'll do is to fulfill that artist craving, I'll go to Mount San Antonio. It's a community college in California. So I took art classes, got my AA in graphic design. And then I was like, I'm going to do my plan B now.
Yeah.
So my plan B was advertising marketing. So I got my bachelor's at Cal Poly Pomona in communication with a minor in PR. And then I went to Cal State Dominguez and got my MBA in marketing. Plus, I was able to go to UCLA to study UX UI design. And then I got a scholarship to go to Otis. So I got to Otis College of Art and Design. So I got to study fine arts illustration. I'm trying to think of any other school. That's basically it. That's all my schools. And
your robust so like, background.
I know. For a kid, I never liked school, but for some reason in college, I was able to just make it through. I don't know how. I look back and like, how did you do it? But yeah, I just did all these things. And then after I finished, I was just like, all right, I'm just going to do the 9-to-5 office life. I wasn't thinking like, oh, okay, I'm going to go start drawing. I was like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I didn't understand it. So I was like, instead of like trying to learn it, I was like, I know how to go to work. I know how to go to 9-to-5. I know how to show up, sit in my cubicle. I like, this is simple. I have a check every 2 weeks. This is easy work.
Yeah.
But then I ended up getting with my fiance. I'm like, is this story too long? I'm like,
no, please. Because the thing is, as I'm going through, I'm like checking off like, all right, she answered that one.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Just taking on another job, mine.
No. Okay, there you go. All right, that makes sense. Okay, so I guess like it's a little bit before I met my fiance. So, something just tells me one day I'm like I'm still making artwork even though I'm at work and stuff. And I was like, I want to see if I can do a gallery show. Like, I just want to put my artwork in a show. I just want to see how it goes. So I start putting my artwork in shows in Pomona, like one piece there, or I might put like a piece in another nearby city just to see. And then I one day I wrote this gallery in Pomona called Progress Gallery at the time. And I was like, hey, if you guys ever have an exhibition, I want to do it. Yeah. And then I go down there and meet him and everything. And I show him my work. And he's like, oh, no, you need a solo show. And I was like, solo? I was like, I only got a couple pieces. And he was like, oh, I'll give you a year to start drawing. And I was like, okay. So like this whole year, I'm just drawing. I mean, my fiance, he's like just supporting me. I'm literally just in his place, just markers everywhere. And because I was like part of the rules, I was like, because I told him, because he wanted to date me, and I was like, I told him, I was like, well, I go to school full time. I was still at Cal State Dominguez, plus I was still working full time, and I was doing art show. So I was like, we can date. But please do not get in my way. You get in my way, it's over. I just need to get this work done. That's all I care about. Yeah. So he's just okay with me just trashing his place. There's markers everywhere. I'm just trying to get this work done for this thing. Yeah. So at the end, it was so funny. So then at the end, he kind of became my assistant, or unpaid assistant, I'll say, to where he basically put up the art show for me, hung up everything, just set it up for me. And from me doing that art show, sure, and seeing people talking to me in person, I was like telling them, your work is good. Like, where have you been all this time? And I'm like, I've just been in my house.
At work, at school.
Right. You know, like I was like, I don't know. It just didn't really click to me to be like, oh, let me go put my artwork out in the world. Like I always felt like to be a famous artist or to get that kind of shine, you have to know somebody. So me not having a huge social media following, I don't know how to get a following. I post my work, I'm not getting no likes. I'm just living my life. I don't know nothing. I'm like, that's for the people that get lucky. That's not for me. My life is to go to this office job, do whatever I gotta do, be a designer, create something, do some marketing. I'm done for the day. I'm gone.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. I didn't think there was some, I just didn't know, you know. But then I guess another spark was then we ended up buying a house. Yeah. We put a deposit down. So you put a deposit down, $3,000. We put it on this house. And they're like, obviously this is California, so they're like, okay, you need a down payment of $50,000. And I was like, oh yeah, we got it, you know. I'm like, and the house is supposed to take a year to get built, and I'm like, I can do this, we can figure this out, like this is manageable. Well, I don't know, just somehow. So so my fiance, just as crazy as me, and he's like, okay, well, we can figure this out. Yeah, I believe in this. Yeah. So we literally go through this crazy cycle to where I'm like hustling. I'm working at an RV dealership doing marketing for them. I'm everywhere. I'm doing marketing for a toothpaste place. I can't even I'm just everywhere designing, just doing stuff. Yeah. Just to make sure. And then he's working at a furniture store. At the same time, he works in engineering. So he's taking on random jobs. Like, we're just doing stuff. Yeah. To just accumulate this money. So once we finally get in that, we're able to put the down payment down, and we move in. And then I was still working two jobs. Sure. And the second job just pissed me off. I was like, I'm so tired of this. I was hitting my limit. I was like, working two jobs is not normal. Okay, like, it's a lot.
You're trying to make it normal there for a while.
No, I'm not. It's not. I will say it was driving me up the walls because I was tired, you know? So one day, it was like in April, March, I just hit my limit. I was like, I can't, this is not life. This is not life. I'm doing two jobs I don't care about. What, like, I need a happiness, you know? So my fiance's name is Dante. So Dante was like, you need to just quit. I was like, I'm gonna quit. We just bought a house. Like, it's the pandemic. Like, I'm going to quit my job. I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't, you know? And he was like, just do it. Just make a store to just sell your artwork. See how it goes. And I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes. Because he's like, yeah. So he told me. And then I was like, so I just started posting on social media. I kind of got more serious. I started like looking at other artists. Okay, I'm like, okay, use this hashtag. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or maybe I should videotape myself drawing. I guess people want to see that.
See how that, so how that getting the strategy and all of that. Like,
yeah it's funny, right? Huh. I work in marketing, but I never thought about marketing for myself. Like, never clicked to me to be like, oh, maybe I should post like this. This is how people will like me a little bit more.
My first job out of college was a marketing job, and I'm a terrible marketer. It's just like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't have the time for it, and it changes. Like, I, you know, as soon as I feel like I have some rhythm and some system of, okay, what's popping, this is the move, and then it's just like, yeah, we changed that this week. I say, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's it. That sounds about right.
So, and the thing is, you got through like one of the questions I was going to ask you, actually, which is really, really good. And I want to talk a little bit about the who and the what as it relates to like influences, because I'm looking at, this is your work behind you, which I'm like, I'm out here. I see you. This is, I love, like, you know, sort of the use of color in here and so on. So tell me a bit about the who and the what that are your influence that show up in like your work, not necessarily the brand stuff, because I think that, you know, that's sort of like you're working with them, but your work, like the work that you're like, this is me. This is my stuff.
Okay, I would say, I think that the funniest story, I guess it's not really the funniest, but I guess it depends on if you laugh or not. But it was, okay, when I was taking this art class, the teacher that told me to get into Rhyming Arts, I was doing a portrait of Rihanna. It doesn't look like her at all. Like, if you see it now, don't even ask. But this is me thinking I'm drawing her. And he like comes up to me and he's like, you know, people have color in their skin, right? And he was like just straight up like, she's like, you just using too much brown. Like, she was like, you know, people have pink in their cheeks, put some blues. Like, he was like no, I think that like stuck to me. He was like, we are not pancakes. And I was like, oh, okay.
That might be the title of this episode. We are not pancakes.
You're not pancakes.
Coloring in your brown, you hear Ella, yeah, right? It's like, yo, that ain't it right there. That color's not quite where it needs to be at.
Right. And it just stuck to me. So like that kind of started teaching me to like start adding colors. I was like, okay, I guess we don't use browns. I'm just using brown all over and over and over. But it went from color pencil into me start using like oil pastels. And then I saw somebody doing some markers. I don't know who it was. I saw it somewhere on the internet. And I was like, markers do? I was like, those are not the markers that we buy from Crayola. And then I ended up like going to like a local art store and I saw how much they cost. Now, mind you, like this was back when I was in college. I don't know. They might be way more expensive now. But for like a huge pack of these markers, Copic markers were like $300. Huge pack of them. So I was like, okay, how am I supposed to do this? You know, so I would buy like little cheap ones. So like, if you look at my earlier marker pieces, I'm literally working with like 12 markers. Like, I don't have nothing. Like, now, which is funny, I don't even buy Copic markers. I literally just use off-brand markers off the internet. Like, that's how I work. Like,
yeah, I prefer to have cheapo ones that are really obscure.
Yeah.
Where's the off-brand this markers you got?
Right? I'm like, I might use Copic if Copic wants to sponsor me, but as of right now, we roll on Amazon right now.
Ever the hustler, I hear you.
Right?
I hear, like, yo, if y'all want to cut the check,
right?
Scribble, scribble, marker, but...
Right? But as of right now, no. But yeah, I just started, like, once I was able to start getting the off-brand and stuff, then I started using more colors, started pushing more. But I guess my inspiration is kind of like just looking at other artists in galleries. Obviously, you see artists on social media and stuff, but it's not the same as when you see an art piece in person. There is something so much more captivating. Like, I feel like the internet can't show how beautiful a piece looks until you actually see it. So I try to go to museums all the time, like, especially when I travel. Like, I went to Dallas. Like, I don't know if Dallas got all the artwork in the world, but I was like, I'm going to the art museum. You know, I'm going. Yeah. Anywhere I go, I'm going to the art museum. It don't matter where I'm at. I was in Japan a while ago. I was in an art museum.
I'm a little jealous of that, by the way.
There you go. You have to go. I miss it so much. I talk about it all the time. I'm like, I want to go back again. It was so much fun. Obviously, you got to go to museums in Paris. I went in the UK, like everywhere. Anywhere's a gallery, I'm going to go in there. Because it's just something, it's just really cool to see how people, like, how they use different materials. Like, someone clearly make a piece out of glass or literally just anything. I don't know. It just, this is the way everybody creates is so captivating compared to, like, what you see on social media or something. You know, I do get inspired by social media, but I don't know. Something about an art museum just pushes me to be like, okay, I'm going to get up and like draw.
You're right. Like when the opportunity to travel or the opportunity to be there and experience the art, if you will, whatever that art might look like. I was talking with someone yesterday about an interview that I've done, you know, in the past, but I was kind of going back over the interview. And I was like, look, the work, maybe he's a musician. And I'm like, I rarely do this. I always have like a notepad. I always get that thing on me. I got something on me. Yeah. I'm writing down notes. And, you know, and I was like, oh, let's see. And I was like, I wonder if I'm going to interview this dude. We'll see. And I'm listening to his music and seeing him perform. And I pretty much wrote and scripted all of my questions for an interview that I would eventually do with him.
Yeah. And
I could have did the sort of remote thing and got the whole watered down version of the experience, but being there, being in the presence, being there in front of like live music, it felt the same way I imagine you were describing. So in being around and experiencing the art in person is something different about it that social media pictures can't quite capture. The picture that you take in having the experience, it reignites the experience, but the experience is key.
Yes, I think it's like obviously on social media, you don't know how big this piece is. It's just you just don't see all the layers and everything. So when you see this stuff, you're like, holy cow, like, oh, my God, this piece is like 6 feet tall. Like on the internet, it looked that big. So that's what makes it so much fun. Like, that's why I like going to I have to go to art gallery. Like I go to any art gallery. It'd be like contemporary. I was in Dallas. We went to a sculpture museum. Like, I don't even do sculpture, but it was just cool to see.
And I even say, like, you know, when I do this, so people just think it's just me floating like this, right? And I guess I've been posting a few more of the videos, but when they see me in person, I'm 6'4". So they're like, oh, yo, you're
wild. I see it, though. I feel it. I feel it.
So it's like, I'm the aunt. You don't look the way you look at it on the video. No, no. But it is definitely, you know, what I'm hearing is, you know, what I do, like I said, you know, is two things. When I go to a new place, I'm looking for coffee. I'm looking for where the arts, the culture is at, but coffee first, because, you know, it's just all a reality. So also I'm reading in this background of yours, this extensive, creative, I'm jealous of background of yours. So it's sort of like the creative side. You have this background of helping brands scale good design for good business and kind of being very hands-on in this marketing role, this designer role, art director sort of role. How has your concept of like crafting new ideas and being that sort of creative Sherpa, if you will, changed as you've gone deeper into your art practice?
I will say me doing these kind of collaborations and stuff, I really do believe it changed me as an artist because I feel like I never get lucky with these campaigns. I feel like every campaign that I get brought on most times, they're asking me to do something I never did before. Like, why can't I just get the one where I just draw like with one marker and just scribble? Like, can I just do that? But it's always
Brown
like,
Rihanna, please.
Right. Bring her back, you know? It's never simple. It's never simple. Like, for, like, Samsung, that was a time where I was not, I never really talked on the internet or nothing. And, like, oh, you're going to shoot this commercial, and then we want you to draw on a fridge. And for me, I'm a portrait artist. They're like, okay, they're like, nope, no portraits. Like, we just want you to do a landscape. I'm like, who, like, huh, what, huh? What am I drawing? Right, right? I'm, like, confused. I'm nervous. I'm creating all these different draft, like, I guess, like, not drafts, like, concepts and everything to them. I'm just nervous. Like, this is I'm a nervous wreck. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is Samsung. How did they call me? What is going on? And I feel like that's, like, most of these big campaigns is always that kind of way for me. But then I'm happy for these moments because then it taught me how to step outside of my comfort zone, be uncomfortable. Like, I'm literally in the middle of Buffalo, New York. I ain't by myself. I had to take a flight by myself all the way over there in the heat to shoot this commercial. And I'm just by myself. And they're just like, yeah, just act like that's your fridge over there and make you some chips and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I'm scared. Like, this is weird. Like, I think it's what makes it a lot of things insane for me is like how art can get me into these rooms. Yeah. That's what trips me out of like a lot of times. Like for like the Laker thing was like, if I would have just gave up on drawing, I would never have been in the same space as these players and all these different people, like art collectors or making friends with new people, other artists, connecting with Band of Vices. Like, these are things that just wouldn't happen. So it just trips me out of how far art can go.
That's great. And, you know, I think in being able to, and I definitely got a question about time that's coming up. Okay. Yes. But, you know, you know, I was telling you before we got started, like how long I've been doing this. And in the day job, I'm a data analyst. That's what I do in a day job. So they kind of serve each other. It's like the system thinking as far as like, all right, how are you going to plan this out? How are you going to execute? What's the strategy? And then as far as the day job, the storytelling component of like, what does this data mean? What yes. story is it telling? You know, all those things kind of line up together. But then having a little sprinkle, you know, of the marketing background, being charismatic to sell it. You know, and kind of get it over. And I find that the majority of the folks that I interview, especially doing this, they kind of like me. They're like, yeah, yeah, you exist. And it allows me to connect with people such as yourself and really engage in a conversation. Because, you know, the worst is because this is, you know, as I was saying before we got started, this is almost a collaborative thing. Like, this is sort of my creative outlet and inviting someone on. Let's ride with it. Let's see what we get.
Yeah.
You know, And almost getting engaged, like I knew you were going to be fun just based on one, your work, but then also your temperament when you get on, you know, you're like, oh, okay, cool. There's some people like, I don't care, bro, what you got? Hit me with your questions. I was like, ugh. And you're trying to sort it out. And that's, they're kind of the client in that regard. And I definitely have the clients that will reach out and ask me to do sponsored podcasts. And the more that I've done, I'm able to kind of reason through which relationships don't quite work, whether it be with the guests or whether it be with the sort of client relationship. So I say all of that long-winded thing to kind of get to this. Designers, creators, when they're approached by brands, we kind of fit a certain model sometimes. We kind of what they might be, you know, a strategic initiative, if you will.
Yes.
How do you approach that when you're working with a brand? Like, what are those red flags, if you will? What are those green flags? What do those relationships look like that you're like, no, this is where I want to put the 2 minutes of time that I have towards?
Okay, I see what you mean. Like which ones you want to put effort in? I think it's the way they, I feel like step one is the compensation. I'll say that. If you're a big brand, I know you have it, pay me.
Yeah, market companies out there, even the off-brand ones.
Right. I think that's what it is. You know, I feel like that's number one is like, you value my time. Yep. You know, I feel like I do not want to be approached for something very small. I feel like one brand had asked me, like, can you do a coloring book for $500? $500, like, that's a lot of work. And it was no bargaining. It was like $500 plus a gift card. It was something disrespectful, absolutely disrespectful. So I had to say no. It was a big brand. It would have been cute to put on my portfolio. But I was I always try to look at time. It's like, instead of taking on this project just to be like, oh, well, I worked with this company, I could have built my own platform. I could have built my own table. Like, I could have made some new artwork for Damo Inc. I could have done something way more beneficial for my time instead of saying, oh, guess what? I got to work with this company on social media. I want to do something a little bit more beneficial. I'll say two is the campaign. I feel like you can tell a lot if you're being used as, I guess you can say like a token, you can say like a diversity voice. You can tell the project doesn't align with you. It just doesn't make any sense. They don't know your artwork. You just tell like what they're asking of you. So you can say that's a red flag. Like you can just tell like they just found you randomly to meet quota, you can say. Mm-hmm. But I think like the green flags is when they actually truly want to collaborate with you. Like you actually, even if it's just through email, you can just tell the way that they give you that creative freedom. I think those are like the best campaigns when they actually believe in what you're trying to do with the project instead of just saying like, it needs to be this way, this way, this way, this way. I don't care what you think. This is how I feel. Do it. That's when it's like, oh, this sucks. This is a horrible campaign. I feel like when I get put in that position, I already know it's going to bomb. Like, I'm like, you don't know me. Don't really care to use my voice. You just want to use me for what I look like.
Yeah.
Let's have this horrible campaign. Let's do this.
Let's bomb together.
And yeah, let's go out, you know?
You're right. You're right. Like, you know, I've had similar things and as podcasting, everyone wants to do it. There's a lot of bad ones. I teach in that field now too. I'm teaching like high schoolers like podcasting. So I'm revisiting.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Then revisiting some of these steps and try not to be cynical about it, but also being real about it. I was like, there's a lot of stuff out there that's kind of mid. And when I get those similar approaches, because like sort of the visual like work, people have known that a bit longer than, let's say, what's this podcast thing? Anybody can do it, right? And it's like, sure, anyone can draw too. Anyone can illustrate. But then there's good, better, best, great, excellent.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of mid out there.
Yeah. And,
you know, so when folks approach me, they get really weird sometimes. And I fit a, you know, as the token thing or, you know, this, but then it's odd because, you know, it is the disrespectful thing. You're right. I think that is odd. I've had the, well, we can pay you an exposure. I was like, been doing this for 15 years. I don't audition no more. Like, what do we?
Yeah.
And now, but then there's this sort of line where, if I really want to do it and it's just like, this is of interest. Like I work with like PR firms sometimes and it's just like, all right, this is a situation that I can't get to. Because it's like this guest I really want and I can't quite get to them because there's all of the gatekeepers. All right, cool. Maybe having that relationship is important. But some of those other instances where, hey, Rob, we want to work with you to do like a series of interviews and we know your rate is this, but how about we pay you an exposure? It's like, I don't know, bro. I don't know what those clicks mean.
Yeah, that's true. No, I get you. Sometimes the exposure could be worth it, you know, like, especially like, say you're doing like an article or something where they're not going to pay you, but you know, that's going to get posted and stuff. Like you said, it's certain things, but most times you should try to get compensated.
100%, especially, you know, I'm going to put a very fine point on it, especially as a Black woman trying to make your thing. It's you guys get overlooked. It's just kind of what it is.
Yeah, it is true. And then like statistically, we get paid less. So I'm always trying to make up the extra penny that I lost. So
so actually, and I forgot to ask you this earlier, and you've mentioned it twice, and I feel like a bad interviewer for not asking it earlier. Damo Aang, tell us about it, because you mentioned it. I didn't really ask about it, but I should have. And because that's, you know, that's your business. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Damo Inc. was started officially in April 2020. I had ran under the name of Damo Inc. When I was selling on Etsy, but I was literally selling pins and keychains. So it just wasn't me. Okay.
I was looking for those pins and keychains. I was like, yo, where is it at? I'm gonna need those.
Oh, you don't want them. That was definitely just that was a different lifestyle. So that was not the real Damo Inc. That was me. That was pins and keychains. This Damo Inc., the art brand.
Go on.
April 2020.
That's the real one.
Right? Just in case anybody look it up. Like, wait a minute, I want Etsy and saw you selling keychains. And I'm like, that different life, different Damo.
Everything was shaped like a pancake for some reason. Right. I don't know what's going on.
Right? Oh my gosh. So yeah, so I started Damo Inc. I started selling my artwork And I wasn't thinking nothing of it. It was just during the pandemic. I'm just selling my artwork. Nails and hair money one day when the lockdown is over. I'll be able to go to the nail salon, you know? And then people started catching on. I started getting comments. People were like, hey, like, this is really dope. Can you put it on a t-shirt? Can you do this? I really like this. Can you make this a print for me? And I was like, oh, okay. But like, obviously, like that, like, I guess I rewind it back. So Domalink really was started because I moved into my house. Yeah. And I couldn't find nothing. Like, I couldn't find nothing black. I never was a kind of person that was shop for my, like, before I moved into this house, I lived at home with my parents. Sure. I'm not decorating my room. Like, I was not looking to decorate my little room to be all fancy and stuff. That was not what I was doing. Like, it was a place to lay my head and watch TV. So when I moved into the house, I was inspired to be like this interior designer. I want my house to be HGTV worthy. That's like, all of a sudden I got this spark. And I started going into stores, going into Home Goods, everything. And I'm like, where's the black statues? Like, where's the black art? Like, it was just tough. Like, I was like, I don't really want to put this in my house. Like, this doesn't represent me. Like, I just want to be buying stuff. So I was like, well, I am an artist. Just draw your own stuff, you know, like, just do your own thing. And with me creating my own stuff, I was happy to share it because I'm all about, like, I just bought a house. Look at me decorating this. Look at me decorating my kitchen. Look at me decorating my dining table. And me just sharing these experiences online brought a lot of attention from people like, oh, can I have this in my house too? So I was like, all right. So I started posting more of my prints of my artwork, started getting the digital work. I never did digital artwork. Even though I was a designer, I was just making posters and stuff like that. That was like that side of design. But I started seeing like other digital artists and I was like, wait a minute. I see that you're doing well doing that. I think I can learn that. So I got me an iPad, started drawing on my Illustrator on my computer, did everything. And people really started connecting with my work. And I started seeing like other people have the same struggle as me. Like, hey girl, I can't find black art and home decor in my store either. Like, you are my plug. So I was like, okay. So Domalink Inc. just blew up out of literally from my own struggle to where now I'm helping other people with their struggle to where Domalink Inc. has grown into a brand to where we're not just online. We are in stores as well. Last year, I came off of Target's Black History Month where I was able to have my own home decor line. Absolutely insane, where I was selling plates, mugs, tumblers, coasters, paint kits, art prints. Probably forgot something. Oh, mugs. I might have said it, but
did you revisit the scribble you did as a young person? And it's like, yeah, I'm gonna put that on these plates for Target.
Oh, right, stop. No.
Just revisit.
Oh, you know what? But it's funny, it was a line art. So maybe I'll look at it that as this full circle moment. It was mm-hmm. low-key a scribble. It was a scribble.
I got a podcaster too, you know, a little call.
Right, there you go. I appreciate that. I'm gonna start next social media post. I'm like, I had this full circle moment. I won't give you no credit.
Classic marketer.
Oh, but it just came to me randomly and full circle, like this plate.
It's like I'm gonna do a bad record deal. Yeah, you know, I had this new artist.
That's business, right?
Look, I've been playing with that this idea because we're in a I call it an idea economy. I was like, look, you know, all your ideas, you better start trademarking them, because you know, you start doing these pitch meetings, your ideas become someone else's because scarcity.
Yeah, true. That's why you should make sure when you send those emails, have a mail tracker so it sees that they opened it, so they can't be like, I know who you are. I'm like, oh,
what is that?
Yeah, I saw you open my email.
That is a great idea that just came to me, really. Yeah, it came in your email.
Right? I'd be like, where did Dom meet me? So some like random copy of my brand somewhere. Of Domo was Domi Inc. I'm like, where? I know I created this first.
Just doing these keychains again, you know, for some reason. They're just like just taking your old legacy, bro. It's like, yeah, this is the vault,
right? Oh my gosh, now I'd be mad. I'm like, you can have the art, but the pins and earrings, that's offensive.
So hold on. So I want to give you sort of the last two questions that I have, and I got these rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
So I kind of touched on this one a little bit earlier, so I'm definitely curious about it. And I think it's a very advantageous time to ask this.
Okay.
What is your relationship with time? Is it never enough? Are you like sort of cramming for the towards the deadline? Do you struggle with time management? Because, you know, as a person that works with brands and you have your own stuff that you're working, you're an entrepreneur, you have a day job, you have all the different things.
Yes.
And I relate because, you know, one year I did 300 plus interviews and yeah. I did the day job and all of that. And there's a couple hours that go into each podcast. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
How does that relationship with time work for you?
I honestly, I don't think it's time management. I feel like there's, it's a double-edged sword. Obviously, it's amazing to be busy, like for brands to hit you up all the time to do campaigns and everything. But then with these short deadlines, a brand could literally hit me up tomorrow and be like, so we need this Monday. Like,
I have an email schedule to go to.
Yeah.
There's one coming, like from Truth in This Art. I got this brand campaign, right?
Right. Yeah, that's basically what happened. So it's like, that's why I feel like, I guess for me, for time management, it feels like I never have enough time. And I guess never enough time because there's always something new happening. But I'm happy for it. But I guess the days when you ain't got no sleep, it sucks.
I hear you. Yeah. Speak to him, sister. You know, it's that thing of, what is it? I'd rather be overbooked than underpaid.
There you go. Yeah.
It's sort of that. And, you know, I had to change the philosophy because you're right. When you're not getting enough sleep and you're like, do you have all of these other things? Because you also, in that whole mix, have your own personal life too.
Yes.
That needs to have its time. Like, I have mine. Luckily, I don't have any kids. That is look, just with all of this, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go travel for this art show. Where? When?
Right?
How? And just all the questions start flowing in the direction. But, you know, I try to, and having the bandwidth, like, you know, and I'm always appreciative of when folks actually are down to reschedule and communicate, which, like, again, you know, going into this, I knew you were going to be tight because, you know, I have folks that just, I put in a couple hours of research before each one of these. So I've already invested that time into each interview.
Yes.
There are some folks who they just don't show up. And no, nothing beforehand. So I don't get that time back. So, you know, in theory, it's like I've lost that time.
Yes.
It's gone towards what? Because even if we eventually circle, my bad, bro, I didn't see that email. And when we eventually get back to it, it's like I got to redo the questions because now those old questions are outdated.
Yeah.
And I got a new thing that they're working on or whatever the case might be. And, you know, for the most part, you're not tracking it. But when you're an entrepreneur and when you're an independent creator, when you do all these things, you got to track everything.
Yeah.
I want to sit here and watch reruns of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I can't watch those if I'm putting time towards writing these questions and researching this guest that's not going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I can relate. It's before I understood contracts. This was me when I was younger artist. I'll draw something for somebody. And then when it's time to pay, they're like, oh, I ain't got it. So then it's like all this waste of time. You did all this work. And then now they're like, oh, I don't got it. Or even you can just be, or like you said, like you're practicing for this moment with this interview. I guess it'd be the same thing. Like if you're like, someone hits you up for a campaign. So your mindset, it's like, all right, let me start studying for this and start getting ready for this. And then next minute you get an email saying, actually we're canceling it or moving in another direction. That sucks. Like you said, it's like time wasted, but I try to look at it as like, okay, this is more of like me practicing my craft time. That's like the healthier way of looking at it.
See, you got a good mindset on you. That's good because I have this concept before I move into this last question. I have this concept I call like riding the wave. Like I'm like, man, I got this creative energy. Let's just ride with it. When I'm tired, I'm tired. But
yes,
I can do this. And at one point, my high watermark of interviews in a week was 18. So right. And luckily I don't edit my podcast anymore. I have an editor and that frees things up. But, you know, also I do have to vet the podcast. I have to listen to it, all of that stuff. So it's just kind of taking those resources. So I always would put things in a very binary set of like two buckets. It's like, it's either money or it's access, you know? And if the access is there, it has to be real. Like, touching on what we were talking about earlier a little bit.
Yeah.
I really want that access. If that access matters, don't try to, you know, push access towards me, because the things that I have to attend to and be responsible for, they're important. And I remember it was a client that I was doing a ghost podcast for. I did not put my name on it. I was like, I don't know about this. But the money was real, though. So I was like, fine. But, you know, we did it. And then midway through, it's like they decided to cancel the second half of the project. So I was like, all right, cool. I was paid for half. We did half. I was like, feels like I, you know, should have got my full thing because you guys canceled. But whatever.
Yeah.
Come back to me a year later. Those podcasts, can you think you can cut those up into like best of segments and we kind of pay you what we didn't pay you last year? And I was just like, sure, let's go with it. But during that time, I got staff to pay for, you know, sort of like figuring it out. So I was kind of banking on it and all of that.
Yeah.
But it was a lesson learned, to your point about this is practice. This is looking at that silver lining, that healthier way of kind of approaching it.
Yeah. And then also, too, then I feel like those moments allow me to be like way more serious in regards to like contracts and making sure you want a commission by me. I need a deposit. Like, I'm not just working just because off of your trust. Like, no.
Yeah. Once I found out what an MOU was or having some semblance of a contract, I was like, oh, so this is what we have. And I find like the moment, as anyone who's a creator or creator adjacent or whatever, that it is, you're doing something that's creative. The moment that you seem like you have some business savvy or a head on your shoulders, wasn't expecting that from you. Let me get back to you on that. We'll talk about that later.
Right.
So in this last question, and I think we're speaking a similar language. Like, they're, you know, the highs are really high, you know, and the lows can be really low on this sort of creative journey when you're an entrepreneur, you know, right? And, you know, a lot of times we're driven by ambition. We're driven by that next check, that next opportunity. And sometimes it can be a hassle for many reasons. It's just like, man, I got conflicts. I got to figure it out. So when in doubt, how do you get back to sort of your factory settings, I like to call them, like doing sort of the next right thing? Because, you know, I remember I got this like notoriety of like, you know, being, you know, award-winning podcast. I got that. And I had a buddy who's an artist, the visual artist. And he was like, don't get too high right now, bro. Like, I have no plan to. And even if it's like a bad thing, like I bomb a podcast or campaign, but I bomb a podcast and it's just like, you know, this is not my worst, it's not my best. We'll get back. How do you return back to your factory settings?
Ooh, that's a good thing. Okay. I will say, I feel like I'm a crybaby. I will say that. Like, something that come through, obviously I'm like frustrated for the day. Like, I'll be lying to just be like, oh yeah, next time. Like, no, I'm like, I just want to go back to my 9-to-5. I want to go back to my cubicle. Why did I start this? I should have just stayed, just forget the art. Why did I just stay there? You know, pins and keychains, you know, life. Like, what made me decide to step outside of myself? But I feel like this new thing I've been doing lately is that you have, like, I guess it's like in the thoughts of like when it rains, there's a rainbow afterwards. So I think of me crying or whining for the day is me getting it out to where my rainbow appears. So I always feel like every time when I'm like frustrated with like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing right? Like, is this right for me to be taking on these campaigns, doing these retail partnerships? Am I putting too much pressure on myself? Like, or like, starts to self-doubting, like, am I actually that great of an artist or whatever? All of a sudden something just happens. It always happens. It'd be something so simple, like, to like, this week, this mother sent me a picture of her daughter in Walmart, and the daughter had like, so I have like a, I have a hair accessories line with at Walmart, is with Goody True. So right now I'm selling like hair brushes, hair picks, elastic bands, hair clips, all the fun stuff. So that was a super hard campaign to work on. But it was like just seeing that moment of just literally just two pictures of this little girl and she's just smiling like, this is me kind of thing. It like, I guess like it kind of like you said, like it kind of like brings you back, like just brings you back to what your purpose is. So like I try to remind myself, like my purpose is to push this artwork out, because when I was a kid, I wasn't seeing these things. A couple of years ago, I wasn't seeing these things. So if I can just make a couple pieces to put out in this world to where another a kid can see themselves, to where when they get to my age or even younger, they understand what their purpose is, that there is space for them. I like that my artwork allows people to feel seen and to know that they're wanted. So that's my reminder of when I'm like, let me close this laptop, let me throw these markers away and go find me a cubicle to go sit in and and just give up. But no, that's my reminder. Like little moments like that, like be like, okay, I'll draw again. Okay.
That's great. That's almost the perfect way to kind of close out the real podcast with that. And it definitely neat little button, tighten it up. Thank you. That was great. So I got 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
Do not overthink these.
Okay.
All right. You should never ask an artist this, but I'm going to ask. I'm going to start off with this one. What is your favorite color right now? Notice I put that caveat at the end.
Red orange. It's random. Okay. But I like red orange.
All right. So far, 1-for-1. Because usually the way that this is played, if someone's like, man, I ain't got an answer, I was like, that's a demerit.
Right.
What are you currently watching?
Oh my God, I don't watch TV.
Oh no.
I know it sounds like a crazy person, like, no, but I mean, like, I don't have a TV show. Like, I'm pretty, like, okay, I will say with me
watching these cubicle walls.
I know, right? In my free time, like, well, I'm not on social media, I'm just staring at walls. No, I work so much. I really don't watch TV, but let's see. I'm trying to think of my last show. I'm a documentary watcher. I'm those kind of people. I like watching like other people's lives and stuff. I like watching those kind of things. But I will say I've been getting into YouTube. Like I call myself an iPad kid now. Like I'm just like, I'm a big old iPad kid now. I'll say my favorite YouTube channel is called Watcher. These guys from BuzzFeed. I used to like watching like true crime and stuff. So they're like easy humor. And then also I've been binge watching on The Simpsons. It's been giving me like all the nostalgia. Like I feel like I'm like this kid in elementary school laughing at The Simpsons after school again. Like it's all the vibes.
So you're 2-for-2 now, because you thought you didn't have an answer, but you did have an answer. Right. So talk to you on that. This one is a little more opaque. What is a skill that you value in other people that you think is just often unappreciated? Like I like people who are really good conversationalists. I think that's a lost art these days. Mm-hmm. People cannot engage in conversations. It's just hashtags and here's a meme. This is how I feel. It's just like, can you articulate that, please? What is a, mm-hmm. a trait that or skill that people have that, you know, you might not have it yourself, but you really appreciate it when you see it from other people?
I will say writing. I feel that's always been like very amusing to me. Like, I don't think I'm the best writer. I never like, so right now I work as a designer at Forbes. So I work with editors a lot of times. So just to see that every day they just wake up and write, like it just trips me out. Cause it doesn't make sense to me, but now we have AI to where I feel like AI allows me to become this writer, become someone else.
Look,
right?
The AI thing, like
it is right.
Losing jobs, and
they are. It's not, I'm next. That's how I always feel. Like
whoever is creative, it's just like really, you better start playing with it.
Oh, I'm scared. Yeah,
I have to use it all the time, and I'm just waiting. Like I said earlier, 700 over 700 podcasts. I know it's going to be an AI of my voice. It's like, here's the truth in this art with 0.0001.
Like, right. Yeah. No, it is. AI is definitely scary. Obviously, right now it's kind of like, obviously it's fooling a lot of people already. But it's great to where it allows me to write an email.
100%. It's a good copywriter. It's good to do certain things. I verify code with it.
Yes.
But I will say, because we have like this work shortage and you know, like I'm not the biggest reader, you know, it's like I'm not a voracious reader. Like I listen to audiobooks mostly. But when I go through something, right?
Yes.
And I'm reading it, and then I see factual inaccuracies, I get really upset. Because it's like, I read this and it's wrong. And it's like on a reputable site. It's like ESPN. I remember, so for context, when Carl Weathers passed away, I'm on ESPN, and it's like, you know, Carl Weathers from these movies. I'm like, okay. And I'm like reading, and it's like, and from Rocky from 1984. And I'm like, well, Rocky, his character Apollo Creed died in Rocky IV from 1985.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite movies. And they said it came out in 86. No, sorry, they said it came out in 84. Uh-huh. And this is a movie that was released in November of 85. So I was like, that's almost 2 years inaccurate.
Yeah.
And I remember the story with ESPN. I mean, I'm not ESPN, Sports Illustrated, where it's just like, yeah, we found out a lot of these things were inaccurate because they'll start using like the same sort of terminology and it's like unveiling the truth in this art. I'm like, ew, what is this? And you start testing it out and it's like, nah, yeah, I got to update this. This is not good.
Yeah, AI is not clean. I use it. I wouldn't trust it to write like a school essay or something. But like sometimes I feel like it's like, I guess it's like thinking block, I guess, or something. But like it'd be something as simple, like someone to send me emails, like something so simple, like a customer be like, where's my order? And my mind is like, I don't even know what to say. Like I know I'm supposed to just be like, here's your tracking information, but I'm like, I just need AI to just make this look nice. Like I can't
write a warm email basically saying, man, I don't care about your order.
But it's like something so simple. Like I know this is an example, but like, cause like my mind is like, I guess like me as like my insecurity, like is my grammar right? I just want to sound clean, like always.
I think what it should be and what I think it's most effective at is being that second set. Like it's for the brainstorming piece of, I need to write an email that's this long that accomplishes this. Can you make a draft of it? And then you edit after. I think that's the way it works best. Because you just fling it out in the universe is like,
oh, you're in trouble. Yeah. I'll put it out. I'll give it a prompt and I'll read it and be like, that is not what I asked.
You didn't get that ChatGPT Pro have you? It's like, yo, all right, why is this better?
Right?
All right. Let me hit you with these last two because I could just talk about it. For hours. So I thought this was a clever one. This is a full circle one. I know you're going to get it. What is something that's always in your refrigerator? Maybe it's a Samsung refrigerator. I don't know. Who knows? But what's always something that's in your refrigerator?
Oh my God. I guess for myself is horchata. That's random. But
that's a very California thing you just said.
Is that it?
It is. Wow.
I know, and I ran out, so my mind is like, okay, I gotta get my horchata, I gotta reboot.
Just fuel my horchata. All right, this is the last one. And, you know, this falls into that vein of, you know, sort of you check in with your creative friends.
Uh-huh.
How many hours of sleep do you normally get? Not talking about like right now, because it's, you know, you're working off too. So how many hours of sleep do you generally get? Is 7 a good number for you? Is it more like 5?
Man, I'll say I'll get like 6 to 7 because I want to go to sleep early, but then it's always like this random thought that clicks in at night where I'm like, oh, I should do this. Let me set this up. It's always that. But right now I've been trying to like tell myself like, girl, you could do this tomorrow. Like you don't have to, because you're hurting yourself in the long run by making yourself get up half awake and trying to get through the day. Like do that in the morning. So I've been getting better at it. Before, I used to be just doing like 3 to 4 hours, just waking up angry at the world. But I'm
Where's my horchata?
Right? But at least I got my work done kind of thing. But it's like, at what cost? You hate the world. You hate everything.
100%. Especially if it's one of those things, like, especially like, y'all don't get this in Cali, but you know, when it, like, it was 30 degrees. No, it was 28 degrees this morning. I get up at like 5:30 and I usually go for a run and then go to the gym and then start the day. But the only way that that was actually going to work for me for the long term, and I've been sticking with that sort of vibe for the last 6 months, I had to just get up earlier. And I find that, you know, go to sleep earlier, then I'm able to get up earlier. I find that I'm a bit more refreshed that when I get to this part of the day where I'm doing the interviews, which is sort of, you know, my dessert, if you will, doing the interviews with folks, talking to lovely people such as yourself.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm able to actually be engaged, do the act of listening versus, all right, so what's your stuff about again? Like, what's your face like that?
I wish you would have told me this earlier, then I would have just took on that persona. Just been mean mugging you the whole time.
That'd be amazing. The video comes out, it's like, it's just two people mugging each other.
Right.
So that's pretty much it. You got through the hot seat, you got through the rapid fire. You got through the real questions. And in these final moments, one, I want to thank you for coming on and making the time to be a part of this podcast. It's been truly an honor to have you on here. Mm-hmm. And two, I want to invite and encourage you to be your marketing self, shameless plugs, tell the fine folks, social media, website, all of that good stuff. They want to check out your work and have that as a more robust, full version of this to check out your work. So please, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. It was really nice chatting with you. Thank you so much for reaching out. This has been definitely, I feel like it's probably my favorite podcast. So thank you for making this so much fun. So my shameless plug is, my name is Dominique Brown, to remind you. And my Instagram is Snoop Doggy Dom. Instead of Snoop Doggy Dog, switch it out to Dom, D-O-M. You want to follow me on TikTok? My username is Domo Inc. So D-O-M-O-I-N-K. I am in Walmart. I am selling hair accessories with Goody True. There might be some stationery left over for Black History Month. That was at Walmart as well. If you want to shop other items for me, I'm currently selling on Urban Outfitters, Target. I have my artwork at Home Goods. But the best way to support me is through my website, which is domoink.com, which is Domo Inc. So that's what I'm currently doing. If you want to see, like, if you want to shop, like, my artwork, home decor, apparel, and gift options, I got everything from a pillow to puzzles to everything. Everything you need that allows you to celebrate you and celebrate your end. Elevate your space, honestly. Outside of the shameless plug, if you want to follow me, you'll be able to see my journey this year as I continue to do more retail. I have a few more retail launches coming up, which I haven't been able to tell. Also, as well as campaigns, and also just see me get back into doing traditional artwork, because I really want to get back to drawing with markers and paint. So I want to get back to that originality and try to not make people look like pancakes.
It's a great way to close out.
I love it. There you go.
And there you have it, folks. I want to again thank Dominique Brown of Domo Inc. for coming on to the podcast and sharing a bit of her journey with us. And I'm Rob Lee, saying that there's art, culture, and community. In and around your neck of the woods, you've just got to look for it.